Chapter 26. Fortunata was becoming irate with her travelling partner.
By the fang, Patchcoat, I'm certain we've passed this same yew thicket 3 times today. What are you playing at in the name of foxes?
Patchcoat whirled upon the vixen, pulling out a long rusty knife.
Are you calling me a liar, Besantail? Think I don't know where I'm going?
The vixen backed off, licking dry, nervous lips.
Of course not, friend. I'm sorry. This forest looks all the same to me. I'm a healer, not a pathfinder, you know.
Patchcoat grunted as he sheathed his knife.
I'm no trail master myself. I'm a mercenary by trade. I'd swap a good barracks for this lot any day. Never mind, not far to go now.
Fortunata pushed aside an overhanging branch.
A mercenary, hey? Soldier for hire. Well, you do right by me, and I might be able to find you a good barracks. I could have you made into a captain.
A captain, you say? Where at?
The vixen winked.
Tell you some other time. Are we nearly there?
See that big oak?
Patchcoat asked, pointing.
It's got a hidden door between the main roots. Follow me.
At the sound of knocking, Bella opened the door of Brockhall the merest crack. Skipper and Amber craned their necks to see the visitors, as the badger called out gruffly.
Who are you? What do you want?
Fortunata made a fawning bow.
My name is Besantail. This is my assistant, Patchcoat. Are there any among you who require the services of a healer?
Lady Amber showed her teeth.
We don't need your mumbo-jumbo, fox. Now clear off, quick!
Oh, please have pity on us.
Mask whined pitifully.
We've fallen upon hard times. Foxes are always driven off, even when they have travelled far, seeking honest work. We do not mean harm to any creature. We are starving.
Skipper winked at the badger.
Oh, let him in, Miss Bella. Surely we can manage a bite and a sup for these two cruising flea bags.
Bella opened the door wide.
Come in, foxes, but mind you behave, otherwise you may find yourselves hanging by the tails from a high branch.
Once inside, Fortunata's eyes roved ceaselessly, noting every detail of her surroundings. Abbess Germain entered the room, accompanied by 2 small hedgehogs, dressed in blanket cloaks and cooking pot helmets.
Ferdy, Cogs, take these 2 travellers to the kitchen,
she ordered them.
Ask Goody to feed them, please.
Goody Stickle fed the unsavoury duo some leftover spring vegetable soup with bread and cheese. They ate ravenously.
Deary me, it looks like you 2 ain't eaten since last harvest,
Goody remarked.
I'll cut more bread and cheese, then you can earn your keep by scouring some pots and pans before you eat us out of house and home altogether. That'll save my old pores a job.
Reluctantly, the foxes finished their meal. Afterwards, they faced the formidable stack of dirty kitchenware heaped in bowls of water. The vixen curled her lip in disgust.
You wash and I'll wipe.
Mask shook his head.
Oh no, the healer needs clean paws. You wash and I'll do the wiping.
As they worked, Mask whispered to Fortunata.
What do you make of this place, Besantail?
Well, they've certainly got a comfy den here,
she replied.
Well stocked too. But hark, Patchcoat, they're soft and innocent as new bread. Look how easily we got in here.
Mask tapped his nose knowingly.
A right bunch of woodland bumpkins, hey. One good squad of soldiers could tie their whiskers in knots.
Fortunata passed a large pan to be wiped.
How would you like to be in charge of that squad, Patchcoat?
Would this have anything to do with that captain's job you mentioned earlier?
Mask whispered out the side of his mouth. Fortunata wiped her paws on a towel.
Aye, it would. I've been watching you, Patchcoat. You're a fox after my own heart. Now listen carefully and stick by me. We can both come out of this as 2 rich and powerful foxes if we play both ends against the middle.
A fraction before both sides joined in combat, there was a deep, gruff shout from the reeds.
Whoa! Get out of it!
A small, ferocious shrew, armed with a heavy hornbeam club, hurled himself roaring into death coil and whip scale. He belaboured them mercilessly with swift, hard blows.
What have I told you, 2 filthy reptiles?
He shouted.
Get off my bank! Here, take this with you, and this too!
The snake and lizard were thrashed into the stream.
Oh, get off!
They cried. The bad-tempered shrew slammed his club down hard on Whipscale's tail. It flew off into the air, and he battered it into midstream with an expert flick. In the water, a pattern of dirt floated away from Death Coil, showing that under the dark bruises, he was only a common grass snake. The shrew turned to Martin and his friends, gesturing toward the unlucky pair in the stream.
See? A grass snake and a newt. Pair of nuisances. I've warned them before about threatening honest travellers. Go on, clear off, you snotty vermin. Just let me catch you around here again, and I'll make you eat each other's tails.
The snake and the newt were carried off by the current, hissing dire threats now they were out of reach of the shrew and his club.
You wait! You'll pay for this! You haven't seen the last of us!
A well-aimed stone from Gonf's sling bounced off the snake's head. Another from Martin stung the newt's severed tail stump. The shrew nodded approvingly.
Sling-wise, eh? Good shot. This club's my weapon. They won't be back for another dose of this.
Martin smiled. He liked the shrew's truculent manner.
Thank you, sir,
he said warmly.
I am Martin the Warrior. This is Gonf the Thief, and this young Dinny, our mole friend. We are travellers, as you see, bound on a quest to Salamandastron.
The shrew shouldered his club.
Sala what? Oh, you mean that big place to the side of the mountains? Well, I'm called Logalog Big Club. I own the ferry round here. You should have given me a shout like this.
Logalog cupped his paws around his mouth, bellowing out in a deep voice which echoed off the mountains.
Logalog, Logalog, Logalog!
Gonf put his sling away.
We would have if we'd known, matey. Do you live round here?
Logalog parted the reeds, revealing a cave hewn into the bank.
Aye, I live alone. I expect you're hungry. Travellers always are. Come inside, I'll tell you all about it.
Inside the cave was a nest of untidy odds and ends. Fishing nets draped the walls, a fire smouldered in one corner. Many tools lay all about a large, skillfully made boat which dominated the living area. An old black water beetle sat by the fire. The travellers found seats amid the jumble, and Logalog served them steaming bowls of freshwater shrimp soup with arrowhead bread and spring radishes. He sat stroking the beetle's back.
I call this fellow Grubwhacker. He lives nearby, comes in and out of here for his food, just like a pet. That there is my boat. It's about finished. I was going to try it soon in the stream.
Martin felt the sturdy, polished hull.
It's beautifully crafted, Logalog. You know about boats, then.
The shrew picked up a spokeshave. He took a sliver off the stern.
Ships, friend, ships. Though I'm a ferry puller, like all my family. We used to live with our tribe on the banks of the River Moss, far to the north of here. One day, several seasons ago, we were invaded by sea rats who sailed inland. They took many of us captive and put us to the oars of their galley. Some died there, but I escaped. One night I slipped my chains and went overboard, just south of Salamandastron. I swam ashore. Do you see those mountains? Well, I couldn't cross them, so I walked round them. Ha! That took a season or two, I can tell you. Eventually I found my way to this place, the Great South Stream, I call it. One day, I'll go back to my village, where the shores and the flatlands meet the woods on the River Moss. Until then, well, here I am.
Martin put down his bowl.
Then you've seen Salamandastron.
Oh, I passed it a few times when I was in the galleys.
Logalog agreed.
Big mountain, fiery at night. Sea rats don't like it, though.
Martin nodded.
Yes, I've heard about the sea rats. My father went off to fight them up north. He was never heard of again. Tell me, Logalog, do you know the way to Salamandastron?
The shrew pointed with a ladle.
Over those mountains and due west.
Dinny was stroking Grubwhacker.
Can he go there by stream, Glog-Glog?
The shrew paced the cave with his lips pursed. Silently they watched him. Finally, he stopped alongside Dinny and the beetle. Taking a loaf and a piece of cooked fish, he placed them upon Grubwhacker's back, where they could be carried without falling off. Logalog patted his pet affectionately.
Go on, Grubwhacker,
he told him.
Back to your missus and the little uns.
The beetle trundled off obediently. The shrew turned to Martin and his friends.
Right, load the boat up with supplies. I'll get the mast and sail, ready to rig up.
Gonf stood up.
Why, matey, what are we supposed to be doing?
Logalog grunted as he heaved a heavy mast timber from the back of the cave.
We're going to see if that old stream will take us under the mountain. That's the shortest route to Salamandastron. I wouldn't chance it on my own, but now that I've got a crew...